ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुधीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नमो पंकजनाभाय नमो पंकजमालिने नमो पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रे। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 Chapter 55, The History of Pradyumna, Text Number 1. Shri Shuka Uvacha, Kamastu Vasudevamsho, Dagda Pragrudra Manyuna, Deo Papatte Bhuyas, Deo Papatte Bhuyas, तमेव प्रत्यपद्यत। श्रीशुक उवाच कामस्तु वासुदेवांशो दग्धप्रागरुद्रमन्युना देवोपपत्तये भूयस् तमेव प्रत्यपद्यत। श्रीशुक उवाच कामस्तु वासुदेवांशो दग्धप्रागरुद्रमन्युना देवोपपत्तये भूयस् तमेव प्रत्यपद्यत। Matajis. Translation. Shukdev Goswami said, Kamadeva, Cupid, an expansion of Vasudeva, had previously been burned to ashes by Rudra's anger. Now to obtain a new body, he merged back into the body of Lord Vasudeva. Purport. In his Krishna Sandarbha, Anucheda 87, Sri Jiva Goswami cites the following verse of the Gopal Tapani Upanishad 2.40 to prove that the Pradyumna who is the son of Krishna and Rukmini is the same Pradyumna who is a member of Lord Krishna's eternal fourfold plenary expansion, the Chaturvyuha. Yatraso samtita Krishnas tribhi shaktya samahita Rama niruddha pradyumne rukminya sahito vibhu. There in Dwarka, the Almighty Lord Krishna, endowed with his full potency, resided in the company of his three plenary expansions, Balram, Aniruddha and Pradyumna. The Krishna Sandarbha goes on to explain, with reference to the present verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that the Cupid whom Rudra burnt up with his anger is a demigod subordinate to Indra. This demigod Cupid is a partial manifestation of the prototype Cupid Pradyumna, who is the plenary expansion of Vasudeva. The demigod Cupid, being unable to attain a new body on his own, entered within the body of Pradyumna. Otherwise, Cupid would have had to remain in perpetual state of disembodiment, a result of Rudra's having incinerated him with his anger. In his English rendering of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.14.30 purport, Srila Prabhupada confirms the absolute status of Pradyumna, Lord Krishna's son, first son. Pradyumna and Aniruddha are also expansions of the personality of Godhead, and thus they are also Vishnu Tattva. At Dwarka, Lord Vasudeva is engaged in his transcendental pastimes along with his plenary expansions, namely Sankarsana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha, and therefore each and every one of them can be addressed as the personality of Godhead. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, Pradyumna took birth from the womb of Rukmini before Sri Krishna's marriage to Jambavati and the Lord's other marriages took place. Subsequently, Pradyumna returned from Shambara's palace. But before Shukadeva Goswami tells of Krishna's pastimes with his other wives, he will narrate the entire story of Pradyumna for the sake of continuity. Srila Sridhar Swami further notes that Kamadev or Cupid, now appearing within Pradyumna, is a portion of Vasudev because he is manifest from the element Chitta, consciousness, which is presided over by Vasudev, and also because he, Cupid, is the cause of material generation. As the Lord states in the Bhagavad Gita 10.28, Prajanas chasmi Kandarpa, of progenitors I am Kandarpa, Cupid. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarini Vancha Kalpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Pajitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Vaita Gadada Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. We are beginning today a new chapter, the history of Pradyumna. This is a very exciting chapter, a lot of adventure here. Kamdev, Cupid, he was burnt to ashes by Lord Rudra in anger. Lord Shiva was very angry. And then he is born as Krishna and Rukmini's son, Pradyumna. And even before he was 10 days old, the demon Shambara, thinking him to be his enemy, thinking Pradyumna to be the enemy, kidnapped him from the maternity room of Rukmini, and then he threw him in the ocean. He threw the baby in the ocean. And a huge fish swallowed this child. And meanwhile, the fishermen, they caught this fish. And they gave this to King Shambhara's kitchen department for him to eat. So when they cut the fish, they saw inside there is this baby. And immediately they gave this baby to one lady, Mayavati. Mayavati was working in Shambhara's palace. So she was working as a maid servant. So she saw the child, and then she was giving affection to the child, and that time Narad Muni came. And Narad Muni came and told her, who is this? Actually, Mayavati herself, she was Rati Devi, the consort of Cupid, Kamdev, who had come in disguise. And she was knowing that her husband would appear soon. And because of that, she was working here. And that's how Narad Muni tells her that this is your husband. So she becomes very desirous to see that this child grows up fast. And very soon, in a very short time, Pradyumna becomes a handsome, youthful person. And since he is a Cupid also, so he is supremely attractive. And one day, Mayavati, she moves her eyebrows in a very playful, conjugal mood. And Pradyumna is surprised. He says, you know, you are supposed to give me maternal affection. Why are you behaving like a passionate girlfriend? So then Mayavati reveals to her, to him, that how she is Rati Devi and he is Pradyumna. And then she tells him how Shambhara wanted to kill you. And then she teaches Pradyumna Mahamaya mantras, very powerful mystic mantras. And with the help of these mantras, Pradyumna goes and confronts Shambhara. He calls him for a duel and they have a fight. He takes his mace and Shambhara attacks. And Pradyumna with this sword, he kills Shambhara. And when he kills him, Ratidevi appears in the sky and takes Pradyumna to Dwarka. So when they reach Dwarka, everybody, they think Krishna has come because he looks so much exactly like Krishna and he's so attractive. All the ladies, they feel shy and they start running here and there. Then slowly they realize this is not Krishna. They realize that there are some minute differences. But they're all extremely happy. But they don't know who this person. So then Rukmini sees him, and Rukmini's heart is filled with motherly affection. And Krishna also comes. Krishna knows everything, but he keeps quiet. And then Narad Muni comes and reveals the whole thing, and all the Dwarkavasis become happy at the reunion that Rukmini's son has, Krishna's son has come back. So like this, this chapter is very exciting. And here also we are introduced to Cupid. How Cupid is has come as Pradyumna. Actually, in the purport, the Jiva Goswami explains that how the demigod Cupid, because he was not able to get a new body, he entered within the body of Pradyumna and he got shelter. And today we could briefly discuss about Mr. Cupid and his role in our lives. Actually, the solution is given very nicely by Shukdev Goswami here only, that in the second canto of Bhagavatam, actually, there are a series of verses where he says how, like what we are doing now, we are discussing Pradyumna's activities, Krishna's pastimes. So Shukdev Goswami says that this is the solution. Talking about Lord Krishna, discussing his pastimes, is the solution for being free from Cupid's arrows. Kachitsvadehantara hridayavakashe pradesha matram purusham vasantam. That in the heart, Lord Krishna is there as Lord Vishnu. And if we meditate on him, if we remember his activities, we will be freed from this anartha. Adina lila hasite kshano lasad brubangasam suchita bhuranugraham. Iksheta chinta mayamena meeshwaram. Yavan manodharanayavatishtate. Sukadeva Goswami says, Adina. Adina means magnanimous. He says, Lord Krishna's pastimes are so magnanimous. Leela. His Leelas, like this pastime we are hearing, it is so attractive. It is so magnanimous. Not only that, Adina Leela Hasite Kshano Lasad. Hasita, his smile is captivating. And his eyes are also described. Adina Leela Hasite Kshano Lasad Brubanga Samsuchita Bhuranugraham. Brubanga means his eyebrows. There are many verses in the Bhagavatam where Krishna's eyebrows are mentioned. And how if you meditate on his eyebrows, we will be freed from lust. Even third canto, Lord Kapiladev instructs Mother Devahuti, Asam Are Ravanata Kilaloka Tivra, Shoka Shrusagara Vishoshanam Atyudaram, Sammohanaya Rachitam Nijamayasya Brumandala Munikrite, Makaradvajasya. Very graphic, Kapiladev is saying that if you meditate on Krishna's eyebrows, and as Cupid, Makaradvaja, and he's shooting his arrows, you know, Cupid's arrows will be ineffective because Cupid sees that you are meditating on Krishna. And then when he looks at Krishna, he becomes conquered. Cupid becomes conquered by Krishna. That's why Krishna is known as Madan Mohan. So here also in this verse, Shukdev Goswami is saying, Bhru Mandala Munikrite Makarat, Bhru Banga Samsuchita Bhuri Anugraham, Anugraham. He says this is Krishna's Anugraha on us that he performs such pastimes. He gives such an enchanting smile and he has such attractive eyebrows. And what we are supposed to do? Viksheta chinta mayamena meeshwaram. Meditate on this beautiful transcendental form of Krishna. And how long? Yavan manodharanayava tishthate. As long as you can. Just meditate and keep your mind fixed on Krishna's form and try to be meditating like this as long as you can. And this is one of the most beautiful verses. This is giving us a lot of hope because the same, you know, Krishna tells us in 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita also, very famous verse, text number 5, where he says how, Klesho diktaraste sham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta igatir dukkham deya vadbir avapyate. If you meditate on impersonal form, then it's only full of klesha, difficulty. So Bhakti Yoga is so nice. We have Krishna, person, his beautiful transcendental form. We can meditate on this form. And also this purport, this verse which I quoted, Adina Leela Hasite Kshano Lasad. This is one of the most beautiful purports of Srila Prabhupada, where is exposing the power of sex desire. You know, he writes very clearly. He elaborates on this principle, saying how this captivates human beings and then it expands into family, relatives, wealth, property, community. And there's a lot of entanglement. And he says, Prabhupada writes here that the main thing this reinforces is the conception of mine. I, mine, me. And then he writes a very beautiful statement. He says how these are all products of sex desire. All these attachments. But time is so powerful that all these products, they get evaporated, they get dissolved. Just like foams in the waves of the ocean, they just disappear. Or the clouds in the sky. Similarly, all our attachments, which are the products of sex desire, they just get dissolved. And then Srila Prabhupada writes, but Bhakti Yoga is so powerful that Bhakti Yoga will dissolve even the sex desire. It's very, very hope-giving purport. At the same time, he also says how renounced order, he wants the renounced order to not accept renunciation if the desire to pursue this lusty activities is strong in the heart. And he gives very powerful explanation on the subtle sex, profit, fame and adoration. He explains this, that how a devotee should aspire to free himself from these shackles. Like that. It's a very nice instructive purport. When we hear this, you know, devotees may think that, oh, it's very difficult to practice Krishna consciousness. But the next verse, Shukadeva Goswami again gives hope. He says, how do we meditate on Krishna? How can we free ourselves from the attack of Mr. Cupid? So he says, Ekai kashonga nidiyanu bhavaye padadiyavadhasitam gadabhruta jitam jitam sthanam apoya dharaye परम परम शोध्यति धीर्यता यथा। इसे एक एक कशोंगानी दियानुभावयेत, एक एक करके यू नो वन बाय वन मेडिटेट ऑन कृष्णाज लिम्स, कृष्णाज बॉडीली लिम्स। एक एक कशोंगानी दियानुभावयेत, बिगिन विद पादादि यावद् हसितं गदाभृत। मेडिटेट ऑन फर्स्ट कृष्णाज लोटस फीट, देन कम अप टू कृष्णाज स्माइल। व्हाट विल हैपन? जितम जितम स्थानम अपोय धारयेत। एंड एक एज एंड व्हेन यू मेडिटेट ऑन कृष्णाज लिम्स एंड एज यू मेडिटेट ऑन कृष्णाज ट्रांसेंडेंटल फॉर्म, जितम जितम नो लाइक दैट, स्टेप बाय स्टेप वी विल ओवरकम अवर अनर्थस। व्हाट विल हैपन? परम परम शुद्यति धीर्यता यथा। धीर मीन्स आवर इंटेलिजेंस। परम परम शुद्यति, इट विल बिकम मोर एंड मोर प्योर एज वी अप्रोच कृष्णा एज अ पर्सन, मेडिटेट ऑन हिज ट्रांसेंडेंटल पास्ट टाइम्स, हिज फॉर्म, हिज नेम। एंड एज एंड व्हेन वी एज एंड एज वी अप्रोच कृष्णा स्टेप बाय स्टेप, लाइक दैट स्टेप बाय स्टेप दीज डिजायर्स अनर्थस विल गो अवे। And here also, this is a very beautiful purport. Prabhupada speaks about purifying our intelligence. Shudhyati, shudhyati dhir. How to purify the intelligence? Yata yatha. Step by step, the intelligence gets purified. And he says how devotee should meditate on deity worship in temple. You know, trying to improve their service, meditating on deities and the service. I remember some years ago, I saw this with our devotees. We were staying in one place and there are some seminars and programs to be conducted. We were away from temple. And Govind Prabhu was there, Sto Krishna Prabhu, many devotees, brahmacharis were there. Bus party was there, bus party had also come. And that company had provided garden, you know, a nice guest house. And there was a garden, there were rose bushes, fragrant roses, marigold, all those flowers were there. So we were walking in the evening. So then one devotee, the two devotees, they were pujaris already, they were doing deity worship. So they started talking about, you know, how to offer this rose to Gopinath, you know, with turban, how to put the rose. And some other devotee was saying, maybe this small flower, maybe we can decorate Radharani's hair with this. And then other, they were all talking about how Krishna's body could be decorated with these flowers. So I couldn't understand much of the technical nuances of deity worship. But I could see how devotees are absorbed in deity worship, although they were very far away from temple. So it was a very nice discussion was going on. And then one of the devotees said, Prabhu, Shyamanand Prabhu, he said, Prabhu, this is what? He said, what we are doing right now is what the yogis do. You know, they meditate on Krishna's form and they spend a lot of time, they go to Himalayas, they do penances. But they're meditating on Krishna's service. How to decorate Krishna's transcendental body and how. So basically in that, it was actually a materialistic place in one sense. But that whole place, devotees felt Krishna conscious because they were meditating on their service to Krishna. So this is generally, this is what devotees do or supposed to do. When they see beautiful things in the world, they see how this can enhance Krishna's pleasure. Generally, in material consciousness, when we see beautiful things, we think how it can give me enjoyment. But devotees should think how this can give Krishna more pleasure, how this can be engaged in Krishna's service. So matter also is seen from point of view of Krishna's enjoyment. Whereas in, when we are in material consciousness, when we see even Krishna and spiritual things, we may see how it can give me enjoyment. That is the difference between material consciousness and spiritual consciousness. Like I remember, I was talking about these flowers, how devotees are seeing of decorating Krishna. I remember once one very wealthy lady, she came to our temple, a nice person, and the authorities told me and another devotee to show her the temple and the deity room and all that. So this is a new devotee, she was just becoming devotee and quite well reputed person. So when she saw the deity room and the wardrobe of the deities, spontaneously she said, wow, I wish I had a wardrobe like this. So then I remembered how when I came first time to the temple, see this is the difference. A devotee would see a beautiful wardrobe and he would think how this will decorate Krishna. But when we are new and when we are not Krishna conscious, we think how this can give me enjoyment. I remember even when I came first time to temple hall, I appreciated everything other than the deities, you know, like I was thinking of wooden floor. The colony where I grew up, we had a table tennis court and badminton court which had wooden flooring. So I was only thinking where we can play table tennis, how it can... I was just thinking and all that. I was saying, oh, chandeliers kitna hai, oh, I was completely lost, spaced out. But I was appreciating in one sense, but it was, I was not seeing Krishna. Although I was in Krishna's place. So when we are new, this is our struggle. But those who are pure devotees, they may be with hardcore materialistic things, but they will see Krishna there. Like Srila Prabhupada was in Paris, he was on a morning walk. And one devotee, Hari Vilas Prabhu, was there and he was thinking, oh, the cars are zooming by, so much maya here. And Srila Prabhupada was walking and suddenly a breeze was blowing and Prabhupada stopped. And Prabhupada said, Hare Krishna, this is Vrindavan. So this devotee was saying, Prabhupada was in Paris and he's saying, this is Vrindavan. We may be in Vrindavan, we may be thinking of Paris. So like that, you know, this is a difference in the consciousness of a pure devotee and a struggling person. Like one Srila Prabhupada was in Los Angeles and it was a little chilly in the morning, cold. So devotees, so Prabhupada was sitting on the grass, it was cold. So one devotee bought a blanket, one asana for Prabhupada to sit. And Prabhupada spontaneously said, no need, I am sitting on Krishna's lap. So he was Krishna conscious, you know, always. And then another devotee bought a chadar for Prabhupada to put on his body. Because suddenly wind blew. So Prabhupada said, oh, I am feeling Krishna's embrace. Of course, Krishna also is a person. And at the same time, seeing Krishna's presence in matter, seeing Krishna's presence in the world all time, is this is what a pure devotee always does. And therefore, to be free from the attacks of these anarthas, like lust, we need to increase our awareness of things belonging to Krishna and need to be used for Krishna's pleasure. Otherwise, you know, Srila Prabhupada, otherwise if you see, how can anyone go to New York? Just the fact that he is in New York living with the hippies means he is seeing Krishna. Otherwise, how can anyone go and stay in such a crowd? And then he is going to San Francisco at Avalon Ballroom. He goes for mantra rock dance where 5,000 drugged hippies are chanting and dancing to Hare Krishna Kirtan. It's a crazy place. And Srila Prabhupada walks in there and he plays the cymbal, kartals, he does kirtan. And when he comes out and sits in the car, he tells the devotees that this is not a place for a brahmachari. He says this, there in the Lilamrut. And Prabhupada was there, you know, happily chanting, dancing. So it's only possible because he was always Krishna conscious. So this is the solution. But of course, when we talk about this, also a practical problem that arises is, devotees often express that Cupid is Kamdev's, is very powerful, much more powerful than my ability to remember and see Krishna everywhere. So it's not possible. Actually, one devotee once made a very nice realization he was sharing. He was saying, Prabhuji, if somebody abuses me, or, you know, I know which police station to go, and I know what is the helpline, but I am being abused by my mind, which police station can I register a complaint? Where can I go? So I could see his realization, he had a powerful realization on this. So basically, there is no police station where you could go and complain about the mind torturing us and taking us away from Krishna. Therefore, it's a real problem. It's a problem that devotees face in their sadhana bhakti. And the worst part is, we mistakenly think that mind is our friend and whatever the mind demands, we give to the mind, thinking that the mind will be happy and grateful. But no way, mind is not going to be happy. This is actually big time maha cheating by the mind, because mind can never be satisfied with all the things that we give the mind. Like, the mind's demands are like a madman's rambling. You know, a madman, if you give him something, he's asking something. I want, I want, I want. And when you give him, he takes it, and the next moment he says, why did you give me? Like, that's how the mind is. Mind demands a sense object. Mind wants to enjoy sense gratification. You start screaming, demanding, and you yield in to mind's desires, and then the same mind will scream, why did you give me? Why did you torture me? And as you sit confused and wondering what's happening, and the mind will again prod, whisper and tell you, I want, fill in the blanks. Each one of us can fill. And then you are saying, are you sure you want this? And then the mind will scream, I want it. Not only I want it right now. That's how powerful the mind is. So basically, and as we yield to minds, each time we yield, mind is, it's basically is sadistic delight the mind enjoys. So mind is not our friend at this stage of our Krishna consciousness. It's an enemy who is here to stay. And the mind has many weapons, in its arsenal. Many astras, like our warriors in Mahabharata had, Varunastra, Vayu Astra, so many astras. And they had Brahmastra also. So mind has many weapons to attack us. And the worst Brahmastra the mind has is hankering and lamentation. Constantly hankering for something and then lamenting. So like this, the mind takes us away from Krishna. And it's a cruel game, You can't... if you are playing a game and you are losing and you are miserable and you're getting beaten, you can quit the game. But Chandramouli Swami Maharaj was saying, very nice example he gave. He said, relationship with our mind is that we are playing a very cruel and wicked game where we can't win this game, but we can't stop playing also. What a tragedy. So he was giving the example of a boxer. Like, imagine you are in the boxing ring, in the arena, and your opponent is very strong and he's knocking you out and you're getting knocked out and you fall on the ground and you're hoping the referee will say the match is over. But if the referee forces you to get up, you get up and then again the opponent knocks you and you can't get out of the boxing ring also. So it's like misery. So that's how our mind is treating us. So no escape. But there is solution. What is that? We can't fight with this mind. There is one more person around, a stronger person stronger than the mind who can protect us. And that is Krishna. That is Guru. He's calling out for mercy of Guru and Krishna. So Krishna enters the arena, then the whole game changes. Basically, calling for Krishna means being attentive to Krishna. Just once we're attentive in our chanting, just one Ma mantra if we can listen. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So if you are just attentive, if you call out to Krishna, then Krishna enters and Krishna then fights with the mind. And Krishna never loses any game. You see Krishna's activities in Vrindavan, Dwarka. He fought with so many demons, but he never lost. Even Jarasandha apparently ran, but he won. He is a master strategist. How he killed Kalayavan. So Krishna will never lose. So we can call Krishna to enter the arena of our consciousness and fight with the mind. And then the best part is, when Krishna punches our mind, the mind will actually relish the punch. Mind will relish Krishna's association. And mind becomes very reasonable then. I'm sure you must have experienced this. Sometimes our chanting is good. Those days, when the mind comes with proposals of sense gratification, we are able to easily negotiate with the mind. And we are able to say no. Because our consciousness was good. We chanted nicely. But the days our chanting is not good, the days we were not with Krishna, even a small disturbance can cause us a lot of agitation and misery. So therefore, and if we don't call for Krishna, then mind will constantly pulverize us, punch us, knock us, abuse us. So this is the solution. Calling for Krishna. There's one letter where Srila Prabhupada writes, one devotee says that the mind is so much troubling me while chanting, I cannot concentrate. Prabhupada says, let the mind's rambling go on and you also continue chanting Hare Krishna. Let there be a fight. Let the chanting also go on, let the mind also keep saying, but eventually the chanting will conquer the mind. Don't give up chanting, just be attentive to Krishna. So like this, so it's important that we can focus more and more on our sadhana, our chanting, and that way we can overcome our anarthas. And I know speaking this is very easy, but the ground reality, devotees who are struggling, again tomorrow when we are chanting our japa in the temple, we may feel sleepy, walk, restless. So this problem appears real and we are wondering how this will ever go. It seems to be a tall order. Now we can take hope from the fact that our struggle is also pleasing to Krishna. Krishna is just like, you know, we are told, be grateful to Krishna. We can take hope from the fact that Krishna is the most grateful person. So although we have so many anarthas and we are struggling in our Krishna consciousness, but the fact that we are trying to hear Krishna's pastimes, the fact that we are trying to chant attentively, this struggle makes Krishna feel very grateful. He feels, oh, this devotee is doing so much for me. That's why Brihad Bhagavatamrita says, when the devotee goes back to the spiritual world, Krishna is returning from the pasturing ground in the evening time, and with all his friends is standing, and when he looks at the devotee who has come back, Krishna embraces the devotee, and pointing to the devotee, Krishna tells all his friends, see, this person struggled so much to come back here to the spiritual world, and Krishna bathes that devotee with the tears of his affection. So we have hope. Krishna becomes very grateful. So we can take strength, we can draw strength as we are struggling, we can draw strength from this fact that this is pleasing to Krishna. And Krishna is grateful. One of the 64 qualities of Krishna, Rupa Goswami says in Bhaktara Samrita Sindhu, is grateful. And he gives the example of how when Draupadi called out to Krishna, "Hey Govinda," Krishna became indebted. Krishna said, "I can never forget this devotee. She has called for me." And then Prabhupada writes a purport there in Nectar of Devotion. That similarly, when we chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So when we chant like that, Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna becomes obliged. Krishna becomes grateful. And the Prabhupada says, Krishna can't forget a devotee who chants Hare Krishna. So although you may think, I am sleeping in japa, I am struggling, mind is protesting. No, but the more we choose Krishna over Maya, so as and when we make our choices for Krishna, each of those choices, actually each time we make that choice, Krishna is happy and Krishna is grateful. And also Rupa Goswami gives one more example of Jambavan. Jambavan helped Lord Ram in Ramayana, we find this pastime. And Lord Ram reciprocated when he came as Krishna, he married Jambavan's daughter. So he says, Krishna never forgets the service rendered by a devotee. Therefore, this is very, very hope-giving. And so we can take strength from this. So what we need to do is simply turn to Krishna. That's it. Our Sachinandan Maharaj recently was asked a question that, Maharaj, what was your biggest realization of last year, 2014? So he made a very nice statement. He said, the biggest discovery of last year was, he realized that Krishna is as close to us as we turn to Him. What a profound statement. You know, Prabhupada says that Krishna is very close to us. So Maharaj was saying, Vachinandan Maharaj was saying that Krishna is as close to us as our willingness to turn to Him. So if you are willing, Krishna is right there. And if you are not willing, then Krishna is not there. Actually, if you see honestly, often we don't turn to Krishna. We depend on our own abilities, you know. Actually, our Bhurijan Prabhu says a nice statement. He says, we are not Krishna worshippers, we are mind worshippers. We depend on our own mental faculties much, much more than Krishna. And even if we turn to Krishna, we generally turn to Krishna when all other attempts have been exhausted. When we have failed in everything else, then we say, acha, koi nahi, abhi kuch nahi, so Krishna, please help me. Ideally, we first turn to Krishna. Basically, that is because we are busy. We are so confident. We are kind of hypnotized. There is a hypnotic effect sometimes. So we are also hypnotized by the so many things we are doing, the activities we are doing, and that actually swallows us. It swallows our consciousness, and we forget. And in technically, it's called Maya. We forget Krishna. And in English language, we call it as oversight. We just can't see Krishna. We don't see the Krishna factor in our lives at all. We see, I have done this. I will do this. I did this. So I have to, you know, basically we are figuring out how I can sort out my life. Our there was one research done some time ago. Very interesting, they did an experiment. They got some students and they showed one football match to them. They said you have to watch the football match and your job is to find out how many goals each team has scored. So apparently this is a very different kind of game. Football match, generally the score is 3-0, 4-0 like that, 2-1 like that. But this match, one team scored 17 goals and another team scored some 20 goals like that. It was a very fast game. So their challenge was to find out which team scores how many goals. So they were watching intensely and they were counting 1-0, 1-all, 2-1, 3-1 like that. So after that they were asked. So everyone, more or less everybody gave the right answer. So then the person, they were asked, did you notice anything else that was interesting? They said, nobody, the match was going on and the score was this. No, but did you notice anything else? Nothing. No, we couldn't see anything else. They said, okay, now you again watch. And this time they all realized that the same match, nobody had realized that there was a big gorilla who was also running with the players. Actually, it was a man who had dressed as a big gorilla. But they had not bothered about that. Can you imagine? They were so focused on that thing. So they were saying, oh, oversight. When we are absorbed in something, we forget some obvious things also. Similarly, you know, we are so busy in getting this done, getting that done, we forget that Krishna is there, moving around. Krishna is very much part of the whole game of our life. This is called as oversight. So like that, we need to see the Krishna factor, and Bhakti Yoga means this. Chanting, hearing means the Krishna factor is the most important. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told, no? Sanatana Goswami, and that story of Sarvagya, astrologer. So one wealthy man, he went to this astrologer. The astrologer said, your father has left a big property for you, but you are digging in the north direction, there are only ghosts. In the west direction, there are only, you know, like that he says, north, west, south, you will not find it anywhere. But if you go in the eastern direction and dig, you will find that vast treasure. So similarly, that eastern direction means basically Bhakti Yoga. If you practice Bhakti Yoga, then you will get this treasure. So we may be doing many things, but the question is, are we at the right place? Are we doing the right thing? Are we remembering Krishna? So like this, we can draw strength from the fact that we need to, Krishna is grateful, Krishna is very pleased with our struggle, and we just have to be willing to turn to Him. We just have to be attentive to Krishna. And that means basically taking care of our tender bhakti, lata, bij, the creeper of bhakti, with attention, with care. Just like Lord Chaitanya said, a devotee is like a gardener. So we are a gardener, we have been given this seed of bhakti. So we have to protect it. Like, what does a gardener do? First thing he does is waters. Only then that plant will become big and it will give fragrant flowers and succulent fruits. Similarly, the most important thing is watering, means hearing and chanting. So like when we come together and do hearing, chanting, this is the first thing a spiritual gardener does. There are four steps in spiritual gardening. The first is this, hearing, chanting. This is the foundation. Only this will ensure that the fruits of love of Godhead will blossom, will come up. Now, this is not sufficient. Hearing, chanting cannot be done in isolation. In the sense, for the plant to grow, along with watering, there has to be fertile soil also. You can't hold the plant in your hand and say, I'll water it every day. Or you can't dig a marble floor and put the plant and say, I'll water it. There has to be rich, fertile soil. So therefore, the second thing needed is a culture of appreciation, service, culture of being grateful, constantly remembering Krishna, seeing good in other Vaishnavas. Without this culture, our hearing chanting is superficial. Krishna is not pleased. So this culture is very important. The soil has to be fertile. This is the second. The third is, Lord Chaitanya said, a gardener has to protect his bhakti lata He has to make a fence and protect it from animals, especially from the wild, mad elephant, which is compared to Vaishnav Aparadh. So we have to protect our Bhakti Lata by making a fence of do's and don'ts, bad association, avoid. Bad association is like an animal coming and chewing and eating away that plant. So we have to protect, we have to make a fence. No, I won't do this, I will do this. And then especially we have to protect it from a mad elephant that can enter the garden and destroy everything in sight. So basically this means honest self-examination, introspection, constantly asking ourselves, am I doing this as a service or am I doing this because I want to be famous, I want something else in return? Am I trying to serve Vaishnavas or am I taking service? Being honest, honestly introspective and protecting our Bhakti Lata. That is the third. And the fourth is, you know, we water the plant first. Second, that means hearing chanting. Second, fertile soil, which means culture of appreciation and service. Third, protecting it. That means do's and don'ts and also being honestly introspective, self-examination. And last, that plant has to be exposed to sunlight. There has to be sufficient sunlight on the plant and then it'll get nourished. Similarly, we have to be under Krishna's sunlight. That's like you can't demand the sun to rise. We can't demand Krishna to give His mercy. But we can do those activities which are pleasing to Krishna. Anukulasya sankalpa, pratikulasya varjanam. What Krishna is asking, we can do that. And manoratena satidhavato bhai. We can stop riding the chariot of the mind. We can stop doing what the mind tells us, but rather do what Krishna is asking us. So like that, when we come under Krishna's loving warmth and Krishna's sunlight, we attract His mercy, then our Bhakti Lata Beej will grow and it will become a wonderful, wonderful tree. So like this, we have hope, although like Lord Shiva here in this verse we hear, He destroyed Cupid by His angry glance. We can beg Krishna also. Lord Shiva burnt Cupid to ashes. Similarly, we can request, we can pray to Lord Krishna to give us the strength to, we may not be able to conquer over Cupid. Prak sharira vimokshana. The struggle is till the end. But we can get the strength to tolerate His arrows and go on and march on in Krishna consciousness happily, being focused on the goal of Sam Siddhir Haritoshanam. Is this pleasing to Krishna or not? If it is pleasing, if it is anukul, I render this service. If it is not anukul, I don't do this. So like this, when we are engaging in Krishna consciousness based on these principles, our struggle in Krishna consciousness becomes a joyful affair. It becomes a very happy struggle. And this is very, very satisfying to the heart. I remember, recently we had been to Mayapur. I got a glimpse of this realization because when we were there, we had gone with around 60 devotees, 50 devotees and some 7-8 children. And we were given accommodation just outside the campus and there was no hot water facility, and devotees who had come for the yatra, they were from families, they would take hot water bath even in summer in Mumbai. And it was freezing cold, it was 8 degrees in the morning and I became so helpless. I was wondering what will happen, and there were women, there were old people, there were children, grahasthas. So I was really confused. And fortunately, 3-4 devotees came forward and said, Prabhuji, don't worry. We'll see that everybody gets hot water. They bought some electric immersion rods and they got the manager of that guest house, convinced him to put on geyser. They did some things. And morning 3 o'clock, they would get up in that shivering cold. Because I didn't have the courage to tell all the devotees who had come for the yatra to come for Mangalarati at 4:30. Because I said, it's so cold, how can anybody come? But then these devotees are there at 3 o'clock with hot water in outside every room. So everybody got hot water for the 5 days of the yatra. And so at the end of the yatra, I asked some of the devotees, we were having realizations, we were sharing. Unanimous, almost everyone said, Prabhu, we are so touched. They took so much inconveniences they underwent just for us. Just for me, they bought hot water every day, whenever I wanted. So I was thinking, we are so conditioned, we have so much contaminations in our heart. Still, we feel touched, when somebody goes through some inconvenience for us, somebody does something for us,
We become so touched and we become so happy. And I knew those devotees in the yatra because I know them for some years now. There was some strain in some relationship with some devotees there. But because of this service attitude, everyone had such loving relationship at the end. So many things, good things happened because of this apparent crisis of no hot water facility. So I was thinking, if with all these anarthas, we are so touched, we are so happy when, you know, somebody goes through some austerity for us. How Krishna, who is the most tender-hearted, most soft-hearted personality, how Krishna must be feeling when we are struggling in our, you know, Krishna consciousness, we are facing some inconveniences, but just to please Krishna. And happily, if you are happy, Krishna, this is for you. You know, I want to please you. So we have hope. So all our struggles are not in vain. If we simply hear about Krishna, Bhagavatam is full of nectar. If you read Bhagavatam, associate with devotees, chant attentively, not offend anyone, take care of the Bhakti Lata creeper, we'll be happy. And we'll attract Krishna's grace and we'll touch Krishna's heart. So Krishna consciousness therefore is a very hopeful process. Let us happily chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Gaur Premanand.